Shalom, welcome to AshJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. This is the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. And this week we're going to get right to our questions. And we will start off with, let me see here. It's going to take me a minute to get there. Okay, we start off with our good friend Yamach Shmoda Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think Louisiana is a perfect example of where this country is? The crime rate there is horrific, especially in the big cities like Shreveport, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans," unquote. Well, things are certainly pretty bad in Louisiana. I think things are bad in all 50 states. I think the United States of America is in a great deal of trouble and is going down very fast. It's a very bad situation. I actually think that it's even worse in places like California, New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, the real left-wing states, than it is in southern states like Louisiana. You mentioned Shreveport, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. Yes, there's a very serious problem there. But in rural and suburban parts of Louisiana, I think they're better off than New Yorkers and Californians. But still, I agree with you. The situation is bad. The situation is bad everywhere. And that's because America is not doing what it's supposed to do. America's supposed to bless Israel. And if you don't bless Israel, you're going to be cursed. That's what the prophets in the Bible say. And because America has abandoned all moral values. Just both parties, Democrats and Republicans, liberals and so-called conservatives, have completely sold out. And so we're facing the consequences in the United States. Thank you, Yamach Shmoda Islam. And now we go to the great Nekama, who writes, and I quote, "Chaim, one, for what it is worth, there is some good news coming out of Israel. In the past couple of years, it seems that nearly every time an Arab attacks a Jew, the Arab is shot dead. Baruch Hashem, the $1 solution is alive and working well. I don't think eliminating Arab murderers will deter them from attacking Jews. Arabs hate Jews more than they love life, and Islam is a death cult. However, at the very least, there will be fewer bargaining chips for stupid Israeli leaders to use to trade for more living or more often dead Jews. And of course, the leftists in Israel are bemoaning the summary execution of these Arab criminals. Your comments, please," unquote. I agree with you that there are cases where Arabs who try to murder Jews are indeed being shot to death because the Jews have no choice. The Arabs are coming at them are trying to run them over with cars and trucks and coming at them with knives. So the Jews have no choice but to shoot them to death before they do that. And that has been true in some incidents lately. But let's remember, Nekama, that there are thousands of Arab terrorists in Israeli prisons with Jewish blood on their hands. Thousands of Arab terrorists. And the Israeli government has freed huge numbers of Arab terrorists. Bibi Netanyahu alone, when he was prime minister, freed over 10,000 Arab terrorists. So we have a very, very bad situation in Israel, and most Arab murderers are not killed or have not been killed in Israel's history. That's certainly true, and there should be an automatic death penalty for anyone who attempts to murder Jews. Anyone who comes into Israel and attempts to murder Jews or attempts to harm the Jewish people should face an automatic death penalty. But I agree with you that if they are shot to death, obviously that's preferable, and I certainly agree with you that using them as bargaining chips, there should be nothing to bargain over. I certainly agree with you. You make very, very good points, as always. And Nekama now writes, and I quote, "Two, please discuss the incident that happened last week when two Breslav Hasidim made a wrong turn and ended up in Ramallah. What a miracle they survived and were not lynched," unquote. This is an incident, I don't know how many of our JTF viewers are familiar with this, but this was big news in Israel, that two Breslev Hasidim did indeed end up in Ramallah, which is a city that is unfortunately occupied by Arab Nazis, a city in the land of Israel, but occupied by Arab Nazis. And a big mob was ready to gather around them and lynch them, which is what happened to two Israeli soldiers a number of years back. They were brutally lynched by an Arab mob. In fact, they were taken to the Arab Muslim Nazi police station, funded by Jews. Everything is funded by Jews. The Jews pay for everything, help them, give them guns, train them. And the so-called Arab Muslim Nazi police, the PLO terrorist police, joined in with the mob in lynching the two Israeli soldiers who by mistake ended up in Ramallah. And this nearly happened again to these two Breslov Hasidim, who made a wrong turn and wound up in Ramallah. But fortunately, the Arab Muslim Nazi police this time were afraid of what would happen to them if they allowed another lynching to take place. They were afraid that there'd be consequences. They were afraid there'd be retaliation. So they decided not to allow the mob, which wanted to murder these two Jews, not to allow them to do it. They decided to stop the mob, even though they would have loved to have joined in the murder. They were wrong, by the way, the Arab police, for thinking that there would be retaliation. The Israelis never give the Arabs a true taste of their own medicine. Israel does not employ even 1% of the power that she should be using against the Arab Muslim Nazis that spilled Jewish blood. But anyway, they felt that there'd be retaliation, and so these two Jews were saved. But it just shows, by the way, the situation in Israel where a Jew who by mistake winds up in an Arab town, Arab village, Arab city, faces a mob that wants to immediately kill him brutally, wants to immediately brutally murder and torture. The lust for blood and the thirst for committing the cruelest acts of Nazi sadism. This is the nature of the enemy that we have in the land of Israel, and why we have to do everything we can to encourage the Arabs to leave the land of Israel. Thank you very much, Nekama, for your great questions as always. And now we go to another great JTFer, Hirvatsky Noachide, who writes, and I quote, "It is permitted to learn about adulterous practices in order to carefully avoid them, according to the Divine Code by Rabbi Weiner, 2nd edition, page 147. Can you show some adulterous verses in the New Testament?" The whole so-called New Testament, which is the Christian Bible, is all idolatry from beginning to end. Let me just search over here for a second. Let me just search to see if I remember this right. Okay, I found one. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's Yeshu himself. Yeshu is in Hebrew how we say Jesus. Yeshu himself says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." In other words, three gods. This splitting God into three, or creating three gods, or creating a Godhead, is absolute idolatry in the purest sense of the word. Anyone who in any way divides God or changes his nature or tries to change the oneness of God is committing adultery. I almost said adultery. By the way, in the Bible, often idolatry is compared to adultery. But is committing idolatry clearly. Now let's remember what it says here. It says the Father. The Father means the God that the Jews believe in, the God in heaven. And of the Son. The Son is Yeshu. The Son is Yeshu who died on a cross, and the Holy Ghost. So that's the Trinity. It's called the Trinity in Christian theology. That's one quote. But let's bear in mind the definitions there. Now let me try to find this in the book of John. I hope I can find it here. Let me try. Let me see if I can find this. Book of John. Okay, I think I'll be able to find a couple of them. Okay, John 10:30. John 10:30. Again, Yeshu says, quote, "I and the Father are one," unquote. In other words, this is a human being saying that he is God, that he and God are one. That God is a human being. How can you get more idolatrous than that, to say that a human being born of a woman, human flesh, that flesh and bones, that this is the God that created the universe and that created everything in the world? The ultimate example of idolatry and paganism. Okay, that was John 10:30. Let me see this other. John 14:9, quote, and this is again Yeshu speaking himself, quote, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," unquote. In other words, if you see a human being, you're seeing God. You look at me, you're looking at God. I'm God. That's what Yeshua is saying. So that's another example. So those are just three quotes where clearly the theme of Christianity is that God is a man, a human being, that there's a Trinity, that God is there are really three gods in one. First of all, forget about the illogic and the absurdity of it all. It is paganism in its purest sense. Thank you very much, Hirvatsky. And now we go to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Well, it looks like I will probably never visit, let alone make Aliyah in Israel. All foreigners have been banned from visiting Israel because of the plandemic. And I suppose that makes you very happy," unquote. Well, I'm certainly happy if enemies of the Jewish people, like illegal aliens who come to Israel and then overstay their visit there, are not allowed to come. And I'm certainly happy if other enemies of the Jewish people who come to hurt the state of Israel are not allowed to come. That I am happy about. I'm not happy about the fact that Jews who want to go to the land of Israel can't go. Jews who want to make Aliyah, Jews who want to visit the land of Israel, maybe to possibly prepare for Aliyah, they're not allowed to go, and they're not able to go because of this tragic situation. I notice that you refer to it as the plandemic, as if this is all planned, this is all like a plot that has been planned, the virus. Well, if it is, then the people who planned it are the unvaccinated. They're the ones who are keeping this thing going. They're the ones who are making it impossible for all of us. All of us are having a hard time, and they're ruining the economies of the world. The unvaccinated are doing this. If everybody got vaccinated and everybody wore masks, this thing would have been over already, because there is something that can solve this problem. Things have been invented to solve this problem, but the unvaccinated, who are over 90% of the people that are hospitalized, and over 90% of the deaths are unvaccinated people, even though they're only 20% of the population, but they're over 90% of the hospitalized and over 90% of the deaths, and still people don't get it. Unbelievable. Okay, thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to our friend Ram Sheva Sheva Efes from Israel. Now, Ram asked questions in Hebrew. I'm going to read them and try to answer them quickly, because I know most of our people do not speak Hebrew. Ram, ani ken anase lanot la shelot shelcha, aval ha-tshuvot sheli chayavot liot ketzarot, ki rov ha-chaverim shelanu b'forum lo yodim ivrit. ואני לא רוצה לאבד את הקהל שלנו כשאני מדבר איתך בעברית. I just told Ram, I don't want to lose my audience here while I'm speaking to you in Hebrew. Okay, so I'm going to give quick answers. אז אני אנסה לענות באופן קצר ביותר, אם אפשר. Okay. שלום חיים היקר, מה שלומך? Hello, dear Chaim, how are you? Ratziti lesaper lecha shesiparti lerosh hayeshiva sheli beramat haGolan laRav Yoel Manovich Shlita velaRav Hasheni haRav Mordechai Gross shetomech baderech shel haRav Kahana. Hem tomchim nilhavim בעלות אותך ארצה, הם מוכנים לפעול להגיש מכתב עם עצומה של הרבה רבנים מהציונות הדתית וחבד. האם זה אפשרי שאני יקשר אותך אליהם? סוף ציטוט. אוקיי, Ram is asking me, he said that he spoke to the head of his yeshiva, he studies in the yeshiva of the Golan Heights, and he spoke to the head of the yeshiva and to the second ranking rabbi there. This head of the yeshiva is Harav Yoel Manovich Shlita, and the second one is Harav Mordechai Gross, and he said that they're willing to circulate a petition and write a letter on my behalf for my aliyah to Israel. We've gone that route. Anachnu asinu et ze ba'avar, Ram. Letzari, ze lo avad ba'avar. Ani lo posel lasot et ze אולי בעתיד הקרוב, אבל קודם כל יש לנו מצב חירום, רם, ואני זקוק לעזרתך ולעזרת כל יהודי עם אכפתיות וזה המצב של נוער הגבעות. אנחנו צריכים את הרבנים האלה, ואנחנו צריכים חברי כנסת ועוד אנשים כדי לעזור לאחינו בגבעות. And I just told Ram that we have an emergency situation here, that we tried with rabbis writing letters for me, and so we've tried that route, and it hasn't worked. We've tried that a number of times, and my Aliyah application was always rejected. So what I said to Ram, though, is that instead, what I'd like him to do is help us get rabbis, including his rabbi, and other members of Knesset and other leading people, to instead work on behalf of the Hilltop Youth. That's something that we should be doing. There are people now doing that. Yesh anashim kivar ram she'osim etze. Yesh kivar anashim she'poalim leman noar hagevaot. Aval chayavim lasot harbe yoter ki horsim lahem et habatim veze matzav me'od mesukan ki aravim ממש משתלטים על כל יהודה ושומרון, וזה חיוני לעם ישראל, לארץ ישראל, לעתידנו, להישרדותנו, לתמוך בנוער הגבעות. And what I said to Ram is, it's essential to our survival, it's essential that we work on behalf of the Hilltop Youth. Let me go on and read some more, and he writes also, וגם רציתי לספר לך על איתי, איתי גרנק, הוא מול העיתון עולם קטן, בנוסף הוא מייסד ויור הפורום הציבורי לישראל יהודית ודמוקרטית, מייסד מיזם כוחנו באחדותנו לאיחוד מפלגות הציונות הדתית, והוא גם תומך נלהב בעלות אותך ארצה בבחירות המוניציפליות בשנת 2018. איתי גרנק פעל נגד הקרן לישראל חדשה למען הזהות היהודית, ואיתי גרנק יקים עם יהודים טובים גרעין תורני ביפו כדי לשמור על הרוב היהודי. אני ממליץ לך מאוד שאני יקשר ביניכם. אוקיי, אני מבין למה אתה מתכוון, Ram. I understand what you're saying, and he wants to put me in touch with the editor of a newspaper called Small World, a Small World, which is Olam Katan in Hebrew, and his name is Itai Grank. שוב רם, אגב, היה מאמר לאחרונה על נוער הגבעות בעיתון הזה, ואני חושב שעכשיו אנחנו צריכים להתרכז בנוער הגבעות. יש לנו מצב חירום, רם, מצב חירום. אם אנחנו לא ננצח במאבק הזה על יהודה ושומרון, זה באמת איום קיומי לכולנו. If we do not succeed in our battle for the hilltops and to prevent the Judean Samaria from falling into the hands of the Arabs, it's literally a question of life and death. And זה עניין של מסירות נפש של הגיבורים האידיאליסטים האלה, וזה גם עניין של פיקוח נפש, כי זה קשה לראות איך ישראל יכולה לשרוד בגבולות של רק 10 קילומטרים, בלי יהודה ושומרון, ישראל תהיה בגבולות של רק 10 קילומטרים. אז אולי, רם, אנחנו יכולים לדבר בקרוב, יחד עם החבר'ה שלך, עם החברים שלך, בזום או בוואטסאפ, כדי לראות אם אתם תוכלו להיות כמו לובי למען נוער הגבעות. And I said maybe we can get together and have like a Zoom or a WhatsApp chat in order to see what we can do to create a lobby for Ram and his friends in Israel. Maybe they can have a lobby on behalf of the Hilltop Youth to help us, because we're already doing that, but we want Ram and his friends to get involved with that as well. אני מודה לך, Ram. Okay, now we're going to Binyamin Yisrael, who is another great JTFer, who writes, and I quote, "One, can you discuss Alfons de Mato in more detail?" What can I say? I mean, I think he's a phony. I think he's corrupt. But I supported him because his opponents were all self-hating Jews all these years. I remember in 1980 he actually threw Jacob Javits out of office. Jacob Javits was a horrible self-hating Jew. Horrible Judenrat piece of capo filth, as I think I mentioned on a prior program. Terrible. And he ran in the Republican primary against Javits and defeated him in the Republican primary, D'Amato, and we supported him. This was in 1980, and we supported him. In fact, we used to heckle Javits all over the state when Javits, we would heckle him. And in the November election, he ran against Liz Holtzperson. Now, her real name was Liz Holtzman, Congresswoman Liz Holtzman of Brooklyn, a left-wing, self-hating Jewish woman. She was also district attorney in Brooklyn, and she was the Democrat candidate for U.S. Senate against D'Amato in 1980. And I was always calling, we had a TV show at the time with a lot of viewers, and I always used to call her Liz Holtzperson instead of Liz Holtzman because she's a big feminist. Anyway, I remember meeting D'Amato when he was campaigning. I just saw him on the street campaigning one day in New York, and you know, I went up to him and I said, we have a TV show and we're working against Liz Holtzperson. And when I said Liz Holtzperson, he broke out laughing. He thought that was great. He says, that's great. He says, I want to use that. And he called one of his staff people over. I forgot what the guy's name was. But he called one of his staff people over and said and told him to write it down, Liz Holtzperson. I don't remember them ever using it, but anyway, that's how he reacted. And now Binyamin asked me about Elise Stefanik. Well, she's a congresswoman from upstate New York. She is an establishment person all the way. She's the third ranking Republican in the House. Complete phony. Anyone who gets high in the establishment, anyone high in the establishment of either party, is going to be a complete phony and a fraud. That's just the way it is. The establishment will not let you advance to a leadership position unless you're a complete fraud, and she is. And she ran, by the way, for Congress the first time as a moderate. In other words, a left-wing Rockefeller Republican. And then she suddenly swung to the right when she saw she was going to lose the Republican primary. What is swinging to the right? Supporting Donald Trump is what she defines as swinging to the right. But at first, by the way, she wasn't a Trump supporter at first. Anyway, then she saw that the Republican voters like Trump, and so she became a Trump supporter. Just a complete fake. And now Binyamin asked me about Lauren Boebert. She's always defined as far right. I don't know if she's, I wish we had people who were so-called far right. But anyway, she's defined as being on the far right, and she's a congresswoman from Colorado. I don't know anything about her, though. I just don't know enough about her to tell you. I know about the dispute, and we discussed, I think, on last week's program or the week before. I don't remember, but we discussed her dispute with with the squad. But aside from that, I don't really know much more about any really far more details I don't have about her. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene is the next congresswoman that Binyamin asks about. I think she's crazy. I think the things she says are nuts, and I think she discredits the right. And I mean, she says, for instance, that Trump won by a landslide. He lost by 7 million votes. Give me a break. He lost by 7 million votes. I mean, these people live in complete fantasy. Fantasy land. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene says... she says that people who get vaccinated are pledging their allegiance to Satan. That if you get vaccinated, you have pledged your allegiance to the devil. This is what she says. She's a complete nut job. I could think of a couple of people maybe on our forum who might actually like her like her position on that. And then she says she also says that vaccines and masks are similar to the Holocaust, are similar to the murder of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. And for that one, she apologized eventually. She makes these statements that are so outlandish, so obscene and outlandish. But I don't like her. I think she's nuts. And I just don't like her. The statements she makes, the position she takes, the issues that she embraces are crazy. And I do not like her. And Binyamin now writes, to discuss Tzipi Chotoveli. Tzipi Chotoveli is a member of the Knesset for many years with the Likud. She's supposed to be a big right winger, a big phony. She never, never, never dared step out of line from Likud policies when they destroyed Jewish homes and expelled Jewish men, women, and children and handed over Jewish land to the enemies of the Jewish people and gave billions, billions of shekels or billions of dollars to the Arab terrorists, giving them free electricity and free water and free food and free housing and free education and doing everything they could to encourage the Arabs to stay in Israel and have lots of babies. And she supported that government and those policies and defended them. Always pretending, though, when she runs the Likud primaries, to be a big right winger. Complete phony. You notice, by the way, in Republican primaries here, everybody pretends to be a right winger when they're running among Republican voters. All fake. And with the Likud primary in Israel, same story, all fake. The establishment controls the right and the left. The Republicans and the Democrats, the Likud and the other parties in Israel, the establishment control, it's called controlled opposition. They control it all. And only a sucker believes that people who get elected as right-wingers and then carry out left-wing policies and sell out and break all their promises, that that's good for the country. Only suckers believe that. But most people are suckers. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go to Joe Brandon, who is new to the forum, and I think new to the forum. I see one post. This is his first post, and he writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, a joke parable. What would you call the Flintstones if they were black? Please guess and then highlight the correct answer." And okay, I don't even have to highlight it. I can see it. I can see it. And he writes niggers. Okay. Joe, you have a right to free speech on this forum. I am not against all blacks, and I'm not against black people because of the color of their skin. But I am against black anti-Semites, and most blacks are anti-Semites. They're ungrateful, jealous, vicious haters of the Jewish people, and it's because and they owe the Jews everything. Everything they owe the Jews. The Jews owe them nothing, and they owe everything to the Jews, and they're so ungrateful and so jealous and so filled with hatred. Now, is this every last black person? No, it's not every last, but it's the vast majority. It's the 94% that voted for Jesse Jackson, and the 97% that voted for Barack Hussein Obama, and the 93% that voted for Al Sharpton when he ran for mayor of New York. They are enemies of the Jewish people, and Jews had better wake up and understand that. Thank you, Joe. And now we go to Vintage JTF, who writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. It seems in recent years you are more openly critical of Christianity, its history, and its distorted views on the nature of God. Do you still believe born-again, Bible-believing Christians are for the most part righteous Gentiles, or has that belief been shaken? Why the stronger messaging here?" Unquote. I never believed, by the way, that born-again Christians are for the most part righteous Gentiles. I said that some could be, and examples like Ted Cruz, whom we supported. And I think Mike Huckabee, by the way, did sincerely support Israel for a long time, although in the end he seemed to be praising the Trump peace plan. And so, you know, when I saw how they all went for that Trump peace plan, which would create a Palestinian state, which would return Israel to suicidal boundaries, when I saw that when Donald Trump proposes something, they all gave in, that really showed me a great deal. It showed me Jews can't rely. Jews don't have any real allies there. They're not our real allies. I'm sorry, they're not. If they want to be blessed by God, they had better bless Israel. And blessing Israel means you go against the president, even if you like him stupidly. If you stupidly like him, and you have to be stupid to like someone like Trump. But even if you stupidly like him, because he never kept his word on anything. He never accomplished anything, never kept his word on anything. Immigration continued. There was no wall that was built. He spent more money and increased the deficit and the debt faster than the Democrats. He was a sellout on every issue, but he was a bluff. He spoke with all types of rhetoric, and big rhetoric, but all of it was a bluff. Let me just make sure here I didn't... Okay, is this still going? Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure, because I hit something here, and I just want to make sure that it's... All right, here we go. And so, so when I saw that, I saw that, you know, that it's all a bluff. It's all a bluff. When I saw born again Christians continuing to blindly support Donald Trump after the born again Christians for decades have been telling us that America is being destroyed. You have no idea how many born again Christians, how many ministers I've spoken to over the years who have said to me, America's being destroyed because of abortion and homosexuality. The acceptance of homosexuality and abortions and the tens of millions of babies that have been aborted in this country, that's what's destroying America. That's what they said. And I would always, of course, add the fact that America doesn't support Israel. And they often would agree with me on that. But abortion, homosexuality, those were the two issues they always focused on. Okay? And here we have Donald Trump, when he gets elected president, though, he does nothing to stop abortions. He does nothing to stop abortions. And he himself has a history of saying, he told Jim Russert on Face the Nation that he supports partial birth abortion and always supported abortion. Of course he supports abortion because he wanted to be able to screw women and then make them pregnant and then have them abort the babies. That's what Donald Trump is. He's a serial adulterer. He's a slime bag. The most immoral person you could possibly think of. And he was always pro-abortion. And that doesn't bother them. That doesn't bother them that he was, doesn't faze them. And then the issue of homosexuality, gay marriage. When Trump said that gay marriage is the established law of the land, and then when he went on Fox News and said that it was wonderful, the stupid, I forgot what his name is, that British reporter said to him, isn't it wonderful that Pete Buttigieg and his husband, that he's there with his husband, isn't it wonderful we have this now? Praising this, that the two men are supposed to be married now and they adopt children, which is the ultimate form of child abuse. Two perverts adopting children, bringing them into a home of perversion. The ultimate example. Of child abuse, and you would think the born agains would be outraged. Trump said it's wonderful. He thinks it's wonderful. And then Trump, at Mar-a-Lago, just recently, had this big celebration for gay rights and gay marriage and the transgenders. He was celebrating the transgenders. And someone said there. That Donald Trump has been the most gay, pro-gay president in American history, and Donald Trump said, I'm very proud that you said that. I'm very proud you said that. He's proud to be called the most pro-gay president in American history. And the born-again Christians continue to support him? I said to myself when I saw that, I said, wow, what a joke. What a joke. What a bluff. Anyway, thank you, Vintage JTF. And now we go to our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, is it okay for an American Jew, which I am, to celebrate American holidays like Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, July 4th, and Memorial Day? Thanks, unquote. Certainly, if there's any religious significance there for Christian or other religions, obviously not. And also, Thanksgiving, what are we thanking? We're thanking God that being thankful that we're in the United States of America. Jews are not allowed to be thankful. They're not supposed to be in America. They're supposed to be only in Israel. We're supposed to be in Israel. We're not allowed to be thankful that we're in America. The whole holiday of Purim, the Jews were punished because they were thankful and they went to celebrate the fact that they were in Persia. And we're thankful and enjoying a big meal and a big festival of for being in Persia. That was why we had the great test of Purim. We're not allowed to live outside of Israel, and we're certainly not allowed to be happy that we're outside of Israel and celebrate it. Joe, I often say things that are unpopular, but somebody has to tell the truth. Thank you, Joe. And now we go to Angry Chinese Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, the great Rabbi Kahana once said that Israel is not compatible with Western democracy. Expand on that, unquote. Yes, because in a democracy, you're allowed to, the Arabs and the enemies of the Jewish people, the Muslims, the Arabs, the enemies of the Jewish people, are allowed to become the majority and then democratically vote you out of power. And that's not what Judaism says. In Judaism, the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. It doesn't matter. The Arabs shouldn't have the right to vote at all in Israel. They should have no right to vote in Israel. They should have zero rights in Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They hate the Jewish people. They've murdered thousands of Jews, and they make war on the Jewish people. And so they should not have these rights at all, the right to undermine and destroy the state. So of course, it's incompatible with concepts of Western democracy. Western democracy enables evil people to take over. And angry Chinese Kahanists, we're seeing that in the United States, we're seeing it in Israel, and we're seeing it in the United States. You see here in the United States how, because of so-called democracy and democratic values, we see people from Africa and other countries, and countries that are hostile to the United States, coming in and taking over the country. And they take over the country and destroying the country. And you're not allowed to take action against them because we're a democracy. We have to protect their rights. You know, and by protecting their rights, we lose our own rights. That's the problem. When you protect the rights of the evil people, the decent people lose their rights in the end. Thank you, angry Chinese Kahanist. And now we go to our great friend Kahana Was Right. Kahana Was Right writes, and I quote, "It would seem that one of the most likely origins of the Omicron variant is its evolution with an immunocompromised host or hosts with a chronic COVID infection. It is otherwise very difficult to explain its long evolutionary branch off from known lineages of 2020, while yet still having a huge number of mutations relative to that length of time that has elapsed since then. I have since learned that around 20% of the population of South Africa has HIV. This number is staggering. It is estimated that only 0.4% of whites in South Africa have HIV. Will African hut dwellers be an endless pool of new COVID variants to infect the world for eternity now? What should be done about this problem?" Well, you know, Hashem tried to solve the problem with AIDS. Hashem, the Africans were being wiped out by AIDS. It was unbelievable, by the way. You had a majority of young blacks in many African countries who were HIV positive, and their population started to decline. It was starting to it was decimating Africa. And then George Wahabi Bush, and the Republicans and the Democrats and the media and everybody else and all the scientists and everybody got together and said, "We must cure this problem." So they went and saved the blacks and let them live with the AIDS. They let them continue to live. Otherwise, it would wipe them out. So white people saved them. White people helped them. Something which will never be acknowledged by them. They will lie about it, and they'll say white people were trying to exterminate them, and that or they'll say that the scientists who invented cures, or whatever, were really black, or just one thing after another, and the world will pay a heavy price. It says, you know, the rabbis teach us, if you have mercy on the cruel, in the end you'll be cruel to the merciful. And that's what happens when you're merciful toward barbaric people, cruel, barbaric, evil people, jealous people. And what happens is the decent people then wind up paying the price. Thank you, Kahana Was Right. And now we go to Am Raphael, who writes, and I quote, "What's their origin of Ashkenazi Jews? Are you familiar with that trash chat program, Pal Talk with Nightmares? I don't know what you're referring to. The origin of Ashkenazi Jews. No, I don't know what you're referring to. I do know that one of the things that anti-Semites say, including Jewish anti-Semites, is that the Ashkenazi Jews are not really Jewish, which is utter nonsense. Arthur Kostler, I think his name was, wrote a book called The 13th Tribe, where he said, this is a self-hating Jew, where he said that the Jews are not Jewish, that they're really converts, and just absolute nonsense. The fact is, first of all, the Jews are genetically Jewish. Okay, there are converts, that we've had converts over the years, and there's nothing wrong with that. We welcome converts to Judaism. If they're genuine converts, we welcome them, and they are genuine Jews, and we're required to love them as our brothers and sisters. But the overwhelming majority of Jews have have Jewish genes that are clearly distinctive, that clearly tie the Jewish people together. Sephardic and Ashkenazi Jews and Jews all over the world are tied together genetically and physically. But aside from that, as any human being who becomes Jewish and accepts Judaism and is converted to Judaism and follows the mitzvot and follows the Torah is Jewish. So it would be irrelevant. The physical thing would be irrelevant. It wouldn't stop anything anyway. But it just so happens that even the physical claim, the claim about physical or genetic differences, is also baloney. Complete baloney from anti-Semites and from self-hating Jews. And no, I'm not familiar with the PAL talk with nightmare. I don't know. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know. Is that the? I don't know. Is that that's? I think that's. Isn't that something on the internet where people get together and can have programs on the internet and speak on the internet? I don't know. I just don't know. Thank you. I'm Rafael, and now we go to Chaim Azulai, Efeshesh, who writes, and I quote. Hi there, how are you? I know I can speak English, but it's a little bit easier for me to ask you in Hebrew, but I'll try to write and practice more in English soon. Okay, we're going to have more here. Now we got two questioners in Hebrew. Again, I'm going to go quickly. Ani chayav la'asot et ze bimhirut, Chaim, ki harov ha'machriya shel ha'mazinim ve'hatsofim shelanu lo yodim ivrit, lo mevinim afilu mila. As... אני לא רוצה לאבד אותם. Okay, and I just explained to Chaim what I explained to the other person from Israel who writes, and that I can't give long answers here because I don't want to lose my audience, because not many people in our audience here speak Hebrew. Okay, Chaim writes, and I quote, Chaim Yakar, יש לי שתי שאלות אליך. Dear Chaim, I have two questions for you. האם לדעתך ביידן קיצת יותר טוב מאובמה מבחינת יחסו לישראל? Is, in your opinion, Biden a little bit better than Obama in terms of his relation to Israel? אני חושב שביידן כמו אובמה, כמו טראמפ, כמו כל נשיאי ארצות הברית, רוצים שישראל תיצור מדינה פלסטינית, מדינת טרור, בלב ליבה של ארץ ישראל. תוכנית טראמפ היא תוכנית התאבדותית, בשביל ישראל, וגם התוכנית של אובמה, כולם דורשים את זה מאיתנו, אז אני חושב שכולם גרועים ורעים, וישראל חייבת להיות עצמאית. ישראל ויש לישראל את כל הכלים להיות עצמאית באמת. היא לא צריכה סעד מארצות הברית, זה שקר גמור. והדבר הטוב ביותר שארצות הברית יכולה לעשות לישראל זה להפסיק את הסעד כביכול ולתת לישראל להיות עצמאית. And I just said that Israel does not need, that all the presidents have been bad. All of them, including Trump, by the way. And I specifically emphasize Trump because most Israelis love Trump, and he really was not pro-Israel at all. Terrible. His so-called peace plan was suicide. But... all the presidents are bad, and that Israel has to become independent. It has to end foreign. We have to end foreign aid, and Israel has to become independent. Okay, Chaim now asks, and I quote: "Ani kanire tas b'shavu haba lenofesh lifnei haChristmas b'Berlin im chaverim sheli. Ratziti lishol otcha haim ata adain nimtza ba'emda ba ata kore leMerkel Hitler uvichlal laMedina atzma antisemit." אני מסכים איתך שקיימים עדיין ארגונים ניונאצים, אבל מכאן ועד לקרוא לגרמנים עדיין בשמות גנאי? אני חושב שדווקא פולין ושוודיה כיום יותר גרועות מגרמניה ואסור לפרנס אותן. לגבי הגרמנים עצמם, לטעמי... הרבה מהם סולדים ממה שעשו אבותיהם לעם היהודי באירופה בכלל ובגרמניה בפרט. ובהקשר לשאלה עצמה, האם לדעתך יש מישהו שמועמד לרשת את מרקל והוא יותר לטענתך אוהבת ישראל ממנה, אשמח לתשובות מעניינות ומפורטות בנושא. Oh, אתה באמת מאכזב אותי, חיים. באמת מאכזב אותי. אני לא מאמין מה שאני קראתי. And I just said, you really disappoint me. I can't believe what I just read. קודם כל, מה זה Christmas? מה, אתה חוגג את Christmas? אני זוכר שבפורום שלנו אתה אמרת Merry Christmas. כשאתה הצטרפת לפורום שלנו, ועכשיו שוב אתה אומר Christmas, מה, אתה חוגג את החג של עבודה זרה? איזה מין יהודי אתה? אני לא מבין את זה. ואתה אומר לי, האם אתה עדיין נגד גרמניה? מה הם עשו בסך הכל? מה, הם רק רצחו מעל 6 מיליון יהודים בפשע הגרוע ביותר בתולדות האנושות? And you're asking me if I, first of all, you celebrate Christmas? What was this with the Christmas stuff that you're going to German? You Chaim asked me, he said, I want to go before Christmas to Berlin with friends of mine. And you still think that, you still call Merkel Hitler, and you still say the Germans, you still say bad things about the Germans and condemn the Germans. You're still of the opinion, of this opinion. הגרמנים רצחו 6 מיליון יהודים. ואם אתה מוחל להם על זה, אתה בוגד. ואם אתה חושב שהילדים והנכדים שלהם שונים, אתה בוגד. האנשים שהולכים לגרמניה, שישארו שם. אנחנו לא צריכים אותם. הם חלות. גרמניה זה האיחוד האירופי שמממן כל דבר רע בישראל, שמממן את הערבים המחבלים כולם שרוצים להשמיד אותנו. הם רוצים להשמיד אותנו עכשיו דרך הערבים. הם רוצים עוד שואה. הם עדיין נאצים, אבל בגלל הניצחון של אויבי גרמניה במלחמת העולם השנייה, אין להם ברירה. הם לא יכולים לומר אנחנו נאצים ואנחנו שוב רוצים להשמיד את היהודים. אז הם רוצים שהערבים והמוסלמים עכשיו יעשו את העבודה המלוכלכת שלהם. וזה נכון לגבי הגרמנים, הבריטים, הצרפתים, כל האיחוד האירופי. הם נאצים, והם כן מנסים בכוונה תחילה להשמיד את ישראל. הם רוצים שישראל תושמד. הם רוצים עוד שואה. And I just told Chaim Azulai that Jews who go to Germany should stay there. They murdered 6 million Jews, and now the Germans, to prove they haven't changed, they're now the European Union. They're the main force in the European Union, funding every bad and evil thing in Israel, because they want the Arabs to win. They want Israel to be destroyed, and they want another Holocaust. Except this time they want the Arabs and the Muslims to do the dirty work for them. אני מאוד מאוכזב, חיים. מאוד מאוכזב. איום ונורא. Anyway, let's move on now. Those are our questions for this week. I want to give now our people an opportunity, because people always ask me how they can support the Hilltop Youth. And so we want to give people an opportunity to do so. Where am I here? Oh, there we go. I want to give people an opportunity to do so. People always ask what we can do, and there are two ways that you can support the Hilltop Youth, the heroic Jews that are fighting to save Israel. The first way is online. You can make a contribution by going to our PayPal account. You go to hayamin.org, which is our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and on top in English, there's a donate button. You go to the donate button, you click on the donate button in English on top, and in a couple of minutes you can easily make a donation through PayPal to the Hilltop Youth. That's number one. If you want to send money through the regular mail, You can send checks and money orders to our post office box. And you would send it to JTF PO Box 650327. That's JTF PO Box 650327. Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. Fresh Meadows, New York, 11365. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history. And what we're doing with the Hilltop Youth now literally is changing Jewish history. We've got to win this battle, or we're going to face a catastrophe, God forbid. And so all of us have got to get into this battle and fight for the future of Israel, for the future of the Jewish people. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.